Let's pray because we have a lot to cover today. Lord Jesus, we are so in awe of who you are. Lord, you are a great God. You are full of compassion, love, and mercy. And we just thank you, Lord, that not only do we have your word, but it comes alive into our lives, Lord, when we read it, when we meditate upon it. And we ask this morning, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would open up our ears, our hearts, and our minds, and take in all that you have for us today. Lord, we love you, and we give you this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we're going to just start. We're going to read the whole 15 verses. Starting in verse 1 of chapter 16, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he says, "These things I have spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble. They will put you out of the synagogue. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God's service. And these things they will do to you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I have told you, that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go away to him who sent me. And none of you asked me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is for your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you the things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I say that he will take of mine and declare it to you." I couldn't help but wonder as I read these verses of what the mindset of Jesus was in these moments as he's spending time with his disciples. He's Jesus. He is God in the flesh, and he knows all things, right? He knows what awaits him. He knows what's the trouble that is coming to him. He knows that the crowd that was with him just like a week ago and shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest," they will be the same crowd that is going to be shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him." He knows, Jesus knows that he's going to be betrayed by Judas, that he will be led to the religious leaders who demand that Pilate would put him to death. He knows that he will be beaten, he will be scourged, he will be spat upon, and he'll be made to carry the very cross where the nails would be hammered into his hands and into his feet, as he bore the sins for mankind, as he bore the sins for you and for me. And yet, where do we find Jesus in these last days of his? With his disciples, pouring into them, teaching them, ministering to them, reassuring them, and explaining the importance of his needing to leave. He doesn't sugarcoat the events for the disciples. He tells them exactly the way it is, the reality of what they can expect after he leaves. He tells them that it's going to be tough. It's going to be horrendous in some ways for those who are followers of Jesus. He doesn't hide it from them that great persecution is about to come. Sometimes we have the tendency, we want to hold back the whole truth. We want to hold back the hard things from one another, but sometimes they're needed. You know, we prepare our children, we raise them, and then they turn 18, and then sometimes they leave the house, sometimes not, but we prepare them for living outside of mom and dad's house, and we don't want to sugarcoat sugarcoat it for them. We want to tell them the truth. We want to tell them of the perils that they're going to face, the temptations that they're going to face, the things of the world. We don't want them to be caught unexpected, not knowing how to handle things. And this is Jesus. He just says the truth. In verse 2, he said, they will put you out of the synagogues. The time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God's service. Imagine sitting in a group and hearing these kinds of things. I mean, if your head wasn't bowed low in discouragement before, certainly these words are going to bring us great fear in our lives. But Jesus says something interesting. In verse 5, he says, I am going away, but none of you is asking me, where are you going? Do you find that interesting? That none of the disciples stopped and said, but where are you going? And maybe if they remembered some of the teaching that Jesus did prior to this day, they would have remembered, they would have known, okay, he's going to go to his Father. But no, they're not even there. Jesus is recognizing that they're in agony over the things that he has been saying. Because remember, it's not just in chapter 16. We go back a couple of chapters, and Jesus is beginning to prepare them for what is to come. He's spent 3 years with them. These disciples walked with Jesus. They talked with Jesus. They prayed with Jesus. They saw all the amazing miracles that Jesus did. And now they're hearing that he's going away and their hearts are broken. We have the privilege, all of us here, we have the privilege that we have the Word of God. We can read the Word of God. We can find our encouragement at any time with the Word of God. But these disciples were face to face with Jesus. We know how it's all going to end. We know that all things work together for good for those who are called. These disciples are sitting there or standing there with Jesus, hearing him say these things face to face. And there's a difference. There's a difference when we just read a letter about something that happened to somebody, and then when we're face to face with them and we see the expression on their face, we see the expression of those around us hearing the same news. It's pretty heavy stuff. To have sat there as a disciple and listened to Jesus tell them not only that he's going away, but all of these things, all the persecution that they will face. Have you ever had a conversation with somebody that's painful? And sometimes it's a little bit hard to digest the entire conversation. You just stop at a phrase or stop at a sentence because you just can't take it anymore. And I was thinking back to my daughter, and when we found out that she had cancer and we went to her first oncology appointment. And, you know, if you have ever gone to the doctors for anything and you just hear them, and they're a pro at it, right? Because you're not their only case. They see tons and tons of patients with the same issues. And so they're going on and on and telling you this and telling you that, and your brain just stops. You cannot take anymore. It's too hard. It's too much to bear all at once. And I can imagine that this is how the disciples were feeling. It's almost like, just stop. Tell me something good, Lord, please. I can't take all of this heartache right now. But they stopped, I imagine, when Jesus said, in a little while, I'll be with you no more. Those are hard words to hear. They're very hard words for us to hear. That somebody in our own life isn't going to be with us for very much longer. We watch, you know, my dad just passed in January, and you know it's coming. But your heart's not ready. Even though it's better for them. It's hard to get past sorrow sometimes in our life, but Jesus wants them to know and to understand and to believe not just the difficult things, but also the hope and the promise that comes with the difficulty, the promise that comes with the sorrow, because with Jesus, There is persecution, there is trials, there is hardship, but there is always hope. When we take our eyes off of the situation and turn our eyes onto Jesus and allow him to minister to us, he wants them and us to know that he's not going away and leaving his people just to figure it out all on their own. You know, I didn't send Marla. We were living in Hungary, and she was going to move back to the States after she finished high school. And I didn't just say, okay, you're going back to California. Have fun. Good luck. No. As a mom, as a dad, we wanted to prepare our child for her future and pour into her and remind her of the truth. And we wanted to remind her of the trials that can come her way, and then what she has in the Word of God to help her in those times of trial. He promised, Jesus promised, that he would send the helper. And what a promise that is. He wants them not to just hang on to the sorrowful part, not to just hang on to the words that he spoke to them that were difficult and sorrowful. But listen up, guys. Not that Jesus spoke like that, but I always try and put the scene in my head, so, you know, when I read the word. I'll probably go to heaven and find out I was way off, but it's like, just listen up, you guys. It's not going to be that you are left to yourself. You're not going to be alone. Yes, I am leaving. Yes, I must leave, but I am not abandoning you. Remember, in John 14, 17 through 18, Jesus promised them that the Holy Spirit would come. And not only would he come, but he would dwell with them. He would be with them. And that he would not leave them as orphans. And we don't use that word so much anymore, right? The word orphan, like it used to be back in the 60s, 70s, maybe we would hear it. Documentaries, I remember watching a lot of documentaries in the 90s, and they would show us the children in Romania that were in orphanage and so desperately needed a home, children in China that were in the orphanages that also needed a home, little innocent ones that were just waiting and wanting so much to belong, so much to be loved by someone. And so I'm going to share this with you. But so when I was young, that's what I was. I was an orphan. And that's what you were called if you didn't have any parents. And back then, if nobody, like no family, took you in, then you went and you lived in an orphanage. And I don't really think that they have many of those anymore, because thankfully, a lot of families take in children who can't be with their parents. And so when I was younger, my little brother and I, we were taken away and we were placed in different orphanage. He went to the orphanage for boys and I had to go to the one for girls. And it's painful. You know, it's painful in those times because all of a sudden, in an instant, you're taken away. And you feel this sense that you don't, no longer do you belong to anybody. And you don't, you just don't know what to do with that, especially when you're a little child. And it's like, I was thinking about it, and, you know, it was horrid, the life that we lived before that. But at least I knew where I belonged at that time. You know, at least I had somebody that I could call mom at that time. And then all of a sudden, in an instant, you're taken away and you're placed with all these other children who are just like you, who have feel like, obviously we're too young to know that we didn't have a purpose, but you don't have anybody. You know, and you're left and you're abandoned and you're left without that sense of belonging. And it hurts. You know, it hurts whether we're older, or it hurts even when we're younger. And Yeah. It's just a painful situation. And God put this in my heart to share, which is very difficult to share, but because I feel like so many of us in this world today, and so many women, lack this sense of belonging, and you're just existing and not knowing where you belong, not knowing who you belong to. And I feel like God wants us all to realize that we belong to Him. A lot of people looked at us, you know, in those days. Orphan wasn't a good word. It was kind of like you got pitied, or, but not in a good way. You know, if any kids found out that you were in an orphanage, I remember one time in fourth grade, somebody raised their hand. And it was like, I remember the teacher's name, but it was like, yeah, did you know that Margie was an orphan? And it's like the shame that comes with that. And yet we see that Jesus uses that word. He doesn't want us to feel abandoned. He doesn't want us to feel like we are orphaned, because no matter what life we've led, no matter what circumstances have been allowed to come into our lives, we're never going to be abandoned. If we believe in Jesus, if we have put our faith and our trust in Him, we are His. You have to believe that you belong to Jesus. He has promised that He is going to be with us always. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He will leave the 99 just to run after one of us. That is love. That is care. We belong to Him. We're not just a part of something. We're not just a part of the Christian faith, but each of us, all of us, belong to Jesus Christ. He died on the cross for each and every one of us. We belong to the family of God. In John 10, 29 tells us that we are His, and no one can snatch us out of His hand. No one. Maybe the enemy tries to tell us back and forth, like, you belong, you don't belong, depending on how good of a day you had. No. This is the written word of God. And we have to believe it because it's truth. In Romans 12, verses 4 and 5, just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so is it with Christ's body. We are His body. We are many parts of one body, and we belong to one another. You don't just belong to Calvary Chapel of Vista. You're not just a part of the church. We belong to one another. We're accountable to one another. We're there for one another because we belong to one another. And I hope you get that sense. I hope you get that truth. You might walk in alone, but when you come in here, you belong here to the body of Christ. Jesus didn't leave a list of rules for the disciples and for us to follow, a list of do's and don'ts. Hey, I'm going away. Here's the word. Follow it. That's not His heart. His love is so great. His love is so immeasurable, so unlike any other love that we would ever find on this earth, that He comforts the disciples by telling them that after He is gone, the Holy Spirit is going to come and guide them into all truth. And isn't that what we need? We need to be guided into all truth. We can talk about how there's lies and how there's truth, but what about the half-truths? There's so many, I feel like there's, we can distinguish between lies and truth, but there's so many half-truths out there nowadays. And we need the Holy Spirit in our lives to guide us into all truth. The Holy Spirit is the third person in the Trinity, along with God the Father and God the Son. Each of them is distinct from one another, but all three of them are fully God. And as the song goes, remember, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. In John 15:5, Jesus said that apart from him, we can do nothing. But in Mark 9:23, he says that all things are possible to those who believe. Why? Because as we abide in him, as we yield our will to him, our thoughts, our everything, we will be led by the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:26, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. Who needs help in their weaknesses? I do, every single minute of the day. It's like that we can have that assurance that we can call on the name of the Lord and he will answer us. And it doesn't matter how good of a Christian you were that day. He will answer us when we call out to him. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Is that a promise? Is it amazing? Have you actually torn apart God's word and taken these promises into your heart, not just reading them because we're doing our devotion check. No, but digesting it and realizing that sometimes we find ourselves in those places in life. I can't pray. I don't even want to pray in certain situations. But in obedience, I just give that time to the Lord, and the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. He groans. Sometimes we just can't even get the words out. But the Lord knows. And the Holy Spirit intercedes on our behalf. The Holy Spirit renews us in Titus 3, verses 4 to 7, when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to his mercy, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. When my dad was getting ready to go see Jesus, I had my phone and I put on Alan Jackson's hymns. And a song that I had forgotten about was, "Are You Washed in the Blood?" I can't sing, but you know. And it's like, are we washed in the blood? Are we washed in the blood of Jesus, regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly? Abundantly. He didn't just say, okay, I'm going to pour out the Holy Spirit. In abundance, never ending. We've been justified by his grace that we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is who we belong to. We are heirs of Christ. Romans 8:11, and if, meaning it's true, the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, and he who raised Christ from the dead will also bring your mortal bodies to life through his Spirit who lives in you. Do you realize the amazingness of this verse? The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives in each of us. There is nothing that we cannot accomplish in Jesus' name, because we have the power of the Holy Spirit living and abiding. But we have to believe it. We have to access it. I could give you a gift, and it could be the most beautifully wrapped gift. And I know we've known this analogy, and just leave it under a tree or on your table. But what good is the gift if it isn't opened, if it isn't utilized? We must utilize the gift that Jesus Christ has given to us, and that is the Holy Spirit. In Matthew 5, 38 to 46, these are verses that the Lord really challenged me with in the last month or so. Because we read, "You have heard it said, but I say to you." And it's a challenge. My goodness, is it a challenge. "You have heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you not to resist an evil person." Hard. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. These are easy verses that I like to skim over. Okay, well, that was back then, right? No. I want the promises that were written back then to keep now. But these kind of things, let him have the other cheek. How is it possible? If anyone wants to sue me and take away my tunic, let him have your cloak also. Give extra to some bad guy, to some bad person? I don't want to do that. I can't do that. It's not within me. Whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. I barely even make it 1 mile these days without huffing and puffing. But you go too. Love your enemies. You have heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. If you just love those who love you, what makes us different? What separates us from the rest of the world? Even the unbeliever loves those who love him. But Jesus is calling us to a higher standard. And then we can throw up our hands and say, there's no way. Situations, even I find myself in situations, it's like, I cannot love that person right now. I don't even want to be around that person right now. And yet I yielded and yielded and yielded. And it's not like I have some superpowers except for the Holy Spirit, because in my flesh, there's nothing good. And sometimes we have to yield and yield and yield and yield and let it go. And then we stand and see what the Lord will do. And then you just stand back. And I remember just a few weeks ago going through this, and I yielded to the Lord. And I even knocked on the door, like still in my heart, like this. And I felt like I had every right to hold on to these grudges and to be angry. And yet, when the door opened and there was love that came out of my mouth and love that came out of my heart, I went home and I'm like, Jim, if nobody believes that God is real, I just experienced it. And that's what our life in Christ is about. As we yield to him, as we yield to the Holy Spirit, and we just see that he does in us what we cannot do in ourselves. The things that we don't even want to do in ourselves, he will make a way where there is no way. He will accomplish what he wants to accomplish in and through us. All of these, you have heard it said, but I say to you, try him. If Jesus is calling you to do something, yeah, you might argue with him for a little bit, but yield. Because it's not you in your flesh. It's the Holy Spirit in us and through us that is accomplishing the things that we cannot accomplish. How are we supposed to live up to the standard of God's word? We cannot. And that doesn't mean that there's something wrong with us. No, because Jesus did not abandon us. Jesus did not leave us as orphans. Jesus gave us the helper. Because why? Because we need help, right? And we don't need it just one time. Not when we raise our hand and accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We need it moment by moment in our lives. Constantly calling out upon the name of Jesus. Constantly asking for that fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. Constantly asking the Lord to help us to walk in the Spirit, that we don't fulfill the lust of our flesh. And we think about that phrase, lust of the flesh. It's not about, you know, physical things and doing all these bad things. No, the lust of our flesh is anything that doesn't align with God's word, that we just want to do in our own. But we need the power of the Holy Spirit. And there's no secret formula. It's just calling, asking, seeking. for his help. The Holy Spirit enables us to do what we cannot do in our own strength. And how much time and struggle do we face in our lives because we get frustrated? Oh, we blew it. I woke up today and I was going to do everything right, Lord. But are we doing it in our own strength? Because we're Wonder Woman. Because we know how to do things. And we do know how to do things. And that's a little bit of a problem. Because we get so used to doing things and accomplishing things that need to be done and checking off all the things on our list. But we need the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit guides us. The Holy Spirit directs us. The Holy Spirit gives us supernatural gifts and reminds us of the truth of God's word. The Holy Spirit enables us to do that which is impossible in our own strength. He reminds us what the truth is in God's word. And the Holy Spirit will convict us. He will let us know. When we always say, oh, there was that little voice inside my head. That's the Holy Spirit. Nah, don't go that way. This is the way. Walk this way. Don't go to the left. Don't go to the right. Stay on that path that the Lord is leading us on. He corrects us. We don't want to be spoiled little kids. I don't like to see spoiled little kids when I'm out and about. But how many of us are spoiled little kids? Oh, God didn't do this. Didn't do it my way. He didn't answer the prayer the way I thought he would. No, the Holy Spirit, we have to allow him to convict us. And when he convicts us, what do? Confess our sins. And he's faithful and just to forgive us. He comforts us. Who doesn't need comfort? We all need to be comforted, whether we put an air out in front of those around us or not. We all need to be comforted. And there's nobody in this world, not your spouse, not your children, not your best friend, who can comfort you the way the Holy Spirit can comfort you. But we have to make that choice. God never says and forces us to do anything. It's a choice that each of us has to make. And again, not just one time, but daily, moment by moment, we have to make that choice to allow him to do the things in our lives that needs to be done. To yield our will to his will. To remember that we belong to Jesus Christ. Our life is not our own. We yielded. We said yes. We turned our life over to him. And in doing so, what amazing gifts that he has given to us. What amazing promises he has given to us. And he has given to us his Holy Spirit. That we would never be alone. Even on the darkest day of our lives, he's with us. He's promised to be with us, to help us, to lead us, to heal us. Whatever it is that we need in our lives, we just ask. And he is faithful and just to do what he said he would promise to do. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful that you did not leave us by ourselves, Lord, to figure out this Christian walk. We're so thankful, God, that you keep your promises. We're thankful, Lord, that you give us challenges in our lives and you call us to follow you even when it's difficult, even when there's persecution, even when there's hardships in life. But Lord, we thank you that you didn't just leave us. You didn't just say for us to figure it out, Lord. You sent the helper. You gave us your Holy Spirit. And we're so thankful that we can be led by your Spirit, that we can walk in your Spirit, that we can just call out and you will fill us. Lord, we thank you for your presence. in our lives. We thank you for the strength that you give us each day. We thank you for the love that you poured out for each of us. We thank you, Jesus, that we belong to you and that no one could ever snatch us from your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I asked Denise to play this song. It's from the 90s, I think. It's called I Belong. And as I prayed for today, I really felt that's what the Lord wants, is that each of us would know that we belong to him and that nothing could ever separate us from him. And also, we're going to have a time now, because just for prayer, that you can ask for prayer to be filled with the Holy Spirit, that you can be healed, that you can have help by the Holy Spirit, that you would be filled afresh. And so we're just going to have a time where if you just turn like three or four people in a group and just pray. It doesn't need to be personal. If you don't want to pray personally in your group, some of us will be up here and you can come and ask for prayer. You belong to the family of God. You belong to Jesus. And so ask. You have a right to ask for what you need of him, and he will respond to you. And we just need to ask. Don't be afraid.